The Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Grace to you, O Christ.
I invite you to be seated. I wonder if anybody else, last Sunday night, Easter night, watched that live performance of Jesus Christ Superstar. I thought it was done remarkably well. It's the passion story from the perspective of Judas, so it gives a different angle. Loved remembering a lot of that music, and they had modernized it, I thought, quite well. This morning, and you can probably get it on Hulu, or who was not paying me, by the way, for saying this, but I think it's kind of a really neat witness to the passion story. This morning's gospel reading is a witness to the resurrection story from the perspective of Thomas, particularly. And imagine, if you will, what it might have been like for the disciples after Jesus died. I imagine they were probably all overwhelmed with disappointment and sadness. They thought Jesus something very special and were very close to him. Some had even left their jobs to become his students, his followers, his disciples. But then, in a twist they didn't see coming, even though Jesus tried to tell them, he ends up getting executed like a criminal at the hands of religious and political leaders. And a few days after this tragic public spectacle of his crucifixion, which the disciples, they'd all heard about, but none had seen, they were hiding out, worried that they'd be next as his students, here comes Mary Magdalene with a story that he wasn't really dead. She'd seen Jesus at the tomb. This is John's gospel, not Mark's gospel, which we heard last week. Could it be that they weren't wrong about Jesus? A joyous thought, but also, I think, a very fearful thought. Because if this man is sent by God, raised from the dead, do you really want to see him after you deserted him? You know? He never really looked kindly upon hypocrites, especially religious hypocrites. So the disciples hide out in a locked room with the curtains drawn, I imagine listening carefully to every sound in the street below. Jesus' appearance in that locked room startled them to their very marrow. And what are his first words? "Thanks a lot, guys." Or, "You of little faith," which would be kind of expected. No, "Peace be with you." He dissolves all of their fears in those few words. The disciples immediately receive forgiveness for their failure, for everything, for their betrayal, for their denial, even without any repentance on their part. The first appearance to the disciples, I think, is one of the most gracious moments in all of Scripture. And doubting Thomas, Jesus also brings him mercy. He doesn't get rebuked. Jesus invites him, even though he doesn't do it, to touch it. And Thomas is kind of like us. Well, maybe if I were there, I really would have strong faith. But Jesus doesn't rebuke him, even for getting stubborn. Jesus stands with all of them in the midst of guilt and disbelief and stubbornness and betrayal, and completely embraces them in forgiveness. Just as Jesus stands among us whenever we gather in his name, forgiving us too. That's the scripture from which I get the authority to say those words at the beginning of the worship service, of forgiveness to you. And I think that some folks have told me that who come into the Lutheran tradition for the first time, from another Protestant tradition especially, that they felt it strange that the very first thing we do together is to confess our sins. Not to sing, not to pray, go straight to confessing our sins. "What's up with that?" they say. "Can't we begin on a high note?" Some traditions begin with praise music. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the things that I found personally so compelling about the Lutheran tradition is its honesty and sense of reality about who I am. We don't come to church as good religious people. We come as children of a fallen humanity, as sinners. I think that when we get dressed up to come to church, the sinner in us can begin to think what a good person we are to go to church. You know, not like other people who only come Easter and Christmas and not the Sunday after Easter, right? The sinner in us loves to use anything, especially religion, to try to build ourselves up, make ourselves worthy. Anything to one-up the self, even at the expense of putting down the neighbor. That's why the first thing we do every Sunday morning is to confess to ourselves and to each other and to God that we're sinful. Just to get the simple truth out there. Perhaps we should even have a banner over the entrance. You know, "Only sinners welcome here." We're not here for self-help because we can't get out from under our own self-centeredness as human beings. So we begin by confessing that we need God to do this for us because we're captive to sin. And then comes the best reason that we confess our sin first thing. So that Christ can forgive us, because Christ loves forgiving. That's what Christ loves to do best. It's the very first thing he said to his disciples. It's the very first thing he says to us when we gather in his name. It's what he said to each of us at our baptism. It's what God will say to little Autumn, Sean, and Evan at their baptism this morning. "Peace be with you. I love you. You're eternally forgiven. You are mine." And whenever we hear that our sins are forgiven by Christ, we're to hear the words as coming not from a pastor who's religious or who went to seminary or something like that, who's somehow more important to God than we are. We're to hear the forgiveness as coming from Jesus' own lips. He wants us to go out from our weekly gathering into our daily lives with a sense of confidence, serving our neighbor in our daily lives and thus serving God. And then simply to come back to this community of sinners, because we need forgiveness over and over and over again, so that we can go back out in our world and serve God through our neighbor. As an aside, all Christians can forgive each other's sins, speak the words in Jesus' name, you are forgiven. I'm just lucky to be able to do it as a public figure. My role, the pastor's role, is to speak the word of forgiveness publicly in a regular way to make sure it happens. So, taking a cue from the original disciples, we don't ever need to lock ourselves away when we feel guilt or fearful or stubborn or unbelieving. Christ will seek and find us out anyways through each other. Today, the risen Christ somehow comes within these four walls to bring his word of forgiveness and mercy to us, to you. Christ comes to you through word, wine, and bread today, forgiving you totally and completely, saying, peace be with you. So you see, each Sunday is also the resurrection story from your perspective and mine as well. Amen.